Well, over the past number of months, we've seen tremendous changes in our world, and we see news every day that makes us rather sad, and then we see things that brighten us, and all the Olympic things have raised, as it were, our thoughts and minds to see good things happening, and then we look and then we see things like the Syrian crisis, that little boy this week. How sad, how sad. Our world is up and down, worse like than the weather. And that's pretty up and down, isn't it? In fact, I think earlier on, I heard a news thing when Wimbledon was on. They said, oh, it was raining in court one, but it wasn't raining in court 12 or something or other. I thought, wow. Now, I love the Psalms because no matter where you are, whether you're up there or down there, the psalmist has been there before you. He's got the video and he's had the t-shirt and he's done all the things indeed. And the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, as it's called, it's actually five books, all compiled at different times, many of them by David, the wee shepherd boy. But Moses, the earliest one, Psalm 90, is said by Moses. And it's over 1,000 years between the first and the last one, some of them after the exile. We hang in when we were asked to sing the Lord's song. How can you sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So they were away at that point. So the wealth of human experience from Moses to King David to the Jews beyond the exile, they expressed their prayers and their thoughts in words and songs to God. And some of them are very personal prayers with outpouring of problems. Lord, you see, my enemies are against me and I'm calling to you. There's some communal songs of gratitude. The Lord has blessed us and been with us. There are some wonderful calls to worship God, something of the beauty and the wonder and the glory of the Lord. Some national songs recapping God's great deliverance to Israel, his mighty deeds down through the generations. So there's been so many. If you feel low and down, Lord, from the depths to thee I cry. Psalm 100, he's been there. If you're feeling on top of the world, sing to joy the whole earth. There he is, the psalmist is up there too. If you feel you've messed up, my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned, Psalm 51. And if things are working out lovely for you, the lines have fallen in pleasant places, Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms. And so the psalmist has been there, as I say. Now I'm taking today this Psalm 100. We could have sung it in the Psalter. It's a well-known song, the Old Hundred. But I'm going to take it as the worship. And from this, it's a call to praise God and a great encouragement for us all to be part of a worshiping community. And I'm going to pick out four great notes, or if you like, chords from the organ. The organ has got a wee cipher this morning, so unfortunately Fiona hasn't been able to play the organ, but she's doing wonderfully with the variety that she can do on the keyboards. Four notes, or four chords that we can strike, as it were, as we come in worship this morning. The first one I'm going to take is a note of joy, a note of joy. Verses 1 and 2, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Come before him with joyful songs. It begins with a great call, a great shout, as it were, of joy. No quiet things, no quiet Presbyterian way of doing it. A shout for joy to the Lord. And the word Lord is in capitals, and it means it's a special word for God, the four-letter word that was a sacred one upon the lips, the God of a covenant, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who is the covenant God. And it's yet it's not just the select are invited, for this is inclusive. Shout for joy, all people. All people that on earth do dwell. Perhaps we might understand the call to Israel to shout for joy that they had so much to praise God for. When you think back to their history, the call of Abraham, he guided him and given a son, a miracle son. The guidance of Jacob as he was running away on that ladder up to heaven and down with the angels, God with him. You might have think of the blessing through Joseph in the times of famine, and there he was, the Savior, and from Egypt right through for all the people. The saving acts in the Exodus, Moses bringing them out. Yes, Israel had many causes to shout for joy. The rule under David and Solomon. But the psalmist goes much further, and he says, all people dwelling on earth. And you can't get much bigger or more inclusive than that. The whole world is called upon to worship and shout for joy. One of the interesting things, looking at Rio and all the games that are going on, all the countries, and you see above it all, above that great rock, the great statue of Christ the Redeemer. Isn't it wonderful? And above it all, there is the one who is outstretched. The whole countries who are competing. And above it all, Christ. And in a sense, this is the picture here this morning. No religious divide. No ethnic divides. Sing with joy, all. They say there are three words that are understood in almost every language on earth. The first, I don't know if you can guess, but one is amen. That's known throughout many of the... The other one is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the third one is two words, and it's Coca-Cola. So they say these are the most important ones that are understood the world over. There you are. But however, we'll take the first two anyway. And the psalmist is acting like a cheerleader. Come on, everybody, shout for joy, he's saying. I can't hear you. You can do better than that, he's almost saying. I don't know about you, but some folk have to chivvy themselves on a wee bit if they're that way inclined. My daughter, Ruth, used to write notes to herself. And we would see, when she left for work early in the morning, we'd see some of these notes beside her bed. And there's this one that it says, it's written in red capitals, "Your hair is manky, get up now." wee things like that. And in a sense, this is the psalmist saying, come on now, every one of you, raise the stakes of praise. Come now, let it out, express your joy. Even if you're not a wonderful singer, and it does say, shout to the Lord, not just sing. So if you can't sing, you can make a joyful noise to the Lord, and that's how it lets everybody in. And it's when we lose that sense of joy in life, glad to be alive, glad to have another day, glad to know that this world has its new life and its ability to come back after all the difficulties and the problems. Come on, lift up your hearts. That's what the psalmist is saying. Rouse yourself. Time to praise. And an exuberance of joy. So the note, a note of joy. Now the second thing I want to pick up is that in verse 3, where it says that we've got to know that God is the Lord is God. He who made us and not ourselves, and we belong to him. It's a note of belonging. Following the call of the rouser, he gives reasons why we need to shout for joy. There is solid basis for this positive way of life. God has made us, and we belong to him. At the heart of all, we can be sure of this. We can know there is a great creator God who has made us along with everything else in the cosmos. And here is something we all share. No matter how different our upbringing, how different our culture, how diverse our beliefs and our customs, how conflicting our ideologies, what we believe in and what we don't believe in. And sadly, our world is becoming more divided. And the sectarianism is certainly not something that God wants us to engage in. And even when we descend into the cruelty and murdering hatred, remember the parents of that poor little Liam, when people descend into awesome things as parents, or corrupt factions in destroying one another, the warring groups in Syria, the three groups that are against one against another, and fleeing migrants all over the place. How sad a world. The drug traffickers. How sad and misery. ISIS leaders who would destroy everything that is not according to their narrow outlook of things. And here is the God who made them and us. He made us all. We're all his by creation. And we belong to him. Our fast world is becoming very much, with the gadgets and the Pokemon and the electronic projections into things. And one of the sad things about our fast-paced world, I think, is that as we rush around, we get stuck in our texting and the electronic gadget and get worked up and lose all sense of connection with one another. If you go into a restaurant, you can sometimes see folk the moment they sit down, and they don't even notice the waitress putting the plate on. They're so busy. Unless somebody is even texting the person across the table from them. I mean to say, you can't even say hello to them. Connections. There is a wonderful connection between you and your Maker, and between you and every other person through your Maker. The Lord made us. He made us what we are by his covenant love, a people that is loved by God, united by God, called by God to care for this world and all that is in it. Love your neighbor. A world from, and in a sense, Israel could truly say the Lord made us. Yes, there was that covenant love that I was saying. And from Abram to Joseph, they knew the covenant love from Moses and the 12 tribes through the wilderness and the 10 commandments through the nation with its great worship at the temple, knowing that the God made us and blessed us and provided us and kept us. Surely the people could know that he guided. And in that sense, Israel alone could say, yes, there are so many reasons why we know that he made us who we are. He made us, and he made us to worship him. And surely as Christians, we too can echo that thought, that God through Jesus Christ has made us who we are. Somebody used to say to us when earlier on, why are some Christians not very nice? And they're saying, well, you know, some are a wee bit carnaptious and a bit impatient, and some are a bit rude. And I say, well, we're all at different stages. You see this chap who you say was rude? You should have seen him 5 years ago. He was a lot worse. God's at work in him. He hasn't got rid of it yet, but God is at work. He makes us better. And we should be accepting his covenant, loving, gracious ministry among us, including all that his death has for us and his resurrection means for us and his coming of his Spirit means to us. All these are working. There is a power at work when we open our hearts to God. We are his people. He made us, and he makes us his people in Christ. And we can express joy then, a sense of belonging. And the wee picture there is the flock. We are his flock and the sheep of his pasture. And it's the ancient world pastor, the shepherd, the one who goes ahead and provides the place of pasture, and ever the sheep follow him. And God is our one who keeps us under his eye, watchful, and draws us into his grace. So the note of belonging as well as the note of joy. The third note we must rush in is the note of worship. And verses 2 and 4 especially put that, although it's throughout the whole psalm. Here is the cheerleading call. Worship the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Come everyone and with thanks, for you're going to worship the great king. Psalm 100 is the climax of a group of psalms from 93 onwards. And if you read them, you'll see it's so often the word was repeated, the Lord is king. The Lord is king, the Lord is kingdom. And so 93 is what we call enthronement psalms. And these psalms speak of the throne that is above earthly thrones. And we have this great picture of God empowered and enthroned above every power and every place. He reigning in majesty. He reigns over all. And so the psalmist pictures glad Jewish believers going through the open gateway in towards the temple. Now, of course, the temple, you couldn't just go into every place in the temple. You couldn't just walk in. There were a series of courtyards. And there was the court of the Gentiles. And those who were non-Jewish came up and they had their courtyard. And beyond that were the court of the women of Israel. And then the courtyard for Israel. And there's a little barrier. And beyond that barrier it says that on pain of death you cross this barrier if you're not the right place and the right. And so beyond that is the courtyard of the priests, and beyond that the holy place, and this the holiest of holy, where the high priest could only enter once a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And so in that sense there was segregation. But here we picture the psalmist being a little bit more wider in his sweep. The psalmist urges us all to come on in together in a great company of worshipping, serving, honouring people. There were great, and of course, when Jerusalem is 3,000 feet up, and most pilgrims, when they came, had to climb up from the Jordan Valley or come up from the Mediterranean side. And they called them the Songs of Ascent, because as they went, they climbed. And they said, I joyed when to the house of God, go up, they said to me, and here's the, and then here we are, Jerusalem, standing in your gates. Note of worship. I think without that note of worship, raising our eyes above the level of, as it were, the battlefield here, we lose a sense of direction. We find true direction and purpose when we give God glory and bend the knee to worship him. He is sovereign, and he will bless those who bend the knee to him. He becomes infinitely precious when we make him our Savior and open our hearts to him. And we who love God have every reason to give praise and thanks to him, for he has sent his beloved Son for us all, for everyone, and by his teachings give guidance to all. His death, this is my body for you, shows his love for us. This is my blood shed for you. And those who love me, said Jesus, will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them. And my Father and I will come and live within them. And so there we have it. God wants to come and meet with us and give to us the glory and the blessing of his presence. And at the very end of the Bible in Revelation, Luke, listen, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and we'll have eat with him and we'll have a great party. And so we have this great and vigorous presence among us today. And the note is that of worship, as well as belonging, and as well as joy. Right to the end of days, we will stand dependent on his grace. And the last note is a note of thankfulness, verses 4 and 5. Enter his gate with thanksgiving. Give thanks and praise his name. And he gives reasons in the last verse why we should. How have you come to church this morning? Have you come gladly? Have you come dragged along? Or have you come with a thankful heart? The call to worship and give him thanks is followed by three good reasons. One, verse 5, God is good. He's always good, and he's good to all. Secondly, God shows us love. It's a special word, love. It's a covenant word, drawing people into a closeness of union with him because of the wonderful things God does for his people. He sets his seal of love. God love. God shows us love. And the third thing, why we are thankful, God is faithful. You can rely on him. You can trust him. And so today, I would ask you, what are you placing your trust and reliance on? Are you placing your reliance on God and his goodness? Or are you placing your reliance upon your own self and your own wisdom and your own wit? I can remember when we had little school at a little place called Balloch outside Inverness, and Culloden Primary School was our school, and we had a large number in our class, 12. That was the largest it had been for a wee while. And the headmaster, Mr. McLean, we didn't call him Mr. McLean, we called him Baldy, and you can understand why. He was as bald as a coot, but we didn't answer him back, and we were engaged in our lessons, and he was a great one for English grammar, and it's only when we look back you realise the groundings that we got from, yes, Mr. McLean. But however, Mr. McLean was very strict, and we were all doing it. McLean was sitting in his director's, I think you call it, the one with the rounded arms, and there's arms in the sign, and the table in front of him. And then in the silence, we heard this awful cracking and crunching. And before our very eyes, we saw the chair, the director's chair, collapse. The legs went outwards, and Mr. McLean went down like a sack of potatoes onto the floor. Well, it was the funniest thing we had ever seen. And we could hardly keep ourselves from laughing. And Mr. McLean was scrambling to get himself on his feet, and his face was red, and his pate was red, and his neck was red. And he was embarrassed, of course, and we were, he immediately said he called two people, and I was one of them, to go and get out and get the milk. Because that was, you know, we had our way. So we went outside the door and closed the door. And this girl and myself, we looked at one another and howled with laughter. It was the funniest thing. Now, I've never forgotten that thing, but I've thought of that often. And I was thinking the things that people put their reliance upon. And sometimes they're as shaky as old Mr. McLean's chair. We put our reliance on banks, our money, on stocks and shares, on, well, good looks, well, all these things. But when we look at the end of the day, surely our great trust and reliance must be in our great God, whose love, mercy, faithfulness, and justice will never end. So here's these notes. Take them out with you. The note of joy, the note of belonging, the note of worship, and the note of thankfulness. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word.